what's up, everybody? It is the Stretch Goose Podcast. I am Manuel, and we are here. We are fucking here. And I am an older man. Yes, I took a break. It was my birthday. I turned the ripe old age of 45. And I gotta say, I feel old. I feel like really old. I don't know why. Like, this is going to sound morbid, but I am 45 years old. Life expectancy in America for men is like 80, 81. So it's like I got like 35 good years left in me. And the clock is like ticking. And you just kind of feel that weight on the back of you, on your shoulders. Like, have you done enough? Have you accomplished enough? Do you have enough done to secure, like, a future of sorts for the kids, for the, you know, family, all that stuff? Like, you really start to, like, take it all in. And it makes you wonder, you know, like, it makes you wonder if you've done the necessary steps. Once you hit the back end, once you hit the top of that hill, now you hit the 45, when you hit 46, you start to roll down that fucking hill right off the cliff into the ocean or some shit. And it's just one of those things kind of been contemplating while I was away, you know. I was trying to get an episode out on Friday, honestly, but my fucking computer said no. So episode 104 was a complete non-entity. But don't worry, kids. We're here. It's episode 104. It's happening. It's coming out. It's getting done. Of course, what I will say is, again, thank you to the subscribers out there, all 400 of you. It is something that's growing. I'm really pleased with it. And I appreciate each and every one of you that have taken time out of your day to enjoy my bullshit for at least 40 minutes a day. And my opinions. Now, I know I got to clarify some things before we dive into today's content. There was a deposition that showed up on YouTube, and it was a Steven Crowder. Now, Steven Crowder is a YouTuber, content creator kind of fella. You know, covers the news, as he says. And when you are a daily show, as I am trying to become, I realized listening to the deposition that you don't have enough time to accurately verify information on a daily basis. You just don't have time to cross the OT, cross those T's, dot those I's, all that good shit. You legitimately don't. And it can get you into some hot water. So, like, in the deposition, the lawyers were going through his process behind his reporting, sourcing, what have you. They checked his educational background. Like, they really dove in. It's a deposition. You're trying to get as much info as you possibly can before you, you know, go to trial or settlements or whatever. And I was realizing for a moment about how hard it is, because he said that his version of sourcing is the original story and then a corroboration of that story by finding another person reporting on that story. So if they somewhat match, then he goes for it. And if it's something that comes from him directly, he doesn't go with a secondary source because he is the source or something like that. Something to that effect. And of course, that's not exactly iron tight. You know, ironclad, if you will, because you don't have anybody corroborating yourself. Because you could be wrong in what you're doing. And of course, obviously he didn't agree with what the lawyer was saying, but I got to tell you how I do. I figured it kind of gave me a moment to sit there and go, you know, I should probably be a little bit more transparent and tell people this is how I do it, because I am a one-man band. So I am your host. I'm the one yakking away. And then I also run the software, the editing, the mixing, recording stuff, video clips. I do that. But it's also a daily show of at least 30 minutes. I tried to get that much. And I'm actually talking about the issues. Now, I want you guys to know 100%, I'm not a journalist by any stretch of the imagination. I never claim to be. I don't say that I am. And I also am not breaking any news. I am simply giving my opinion and interpretation of what it is that I am reading and or looking into. And of course, you guys can all agree to disagree to whatever it is that I put out. You can let me know in the comments. You can let me know at stretchgoose@fontsmedia.com. You can let me know in any comment section of whatever platform you're listening to this on. You can totally call me out, call me, a liar, cheat, and a steal, whatever. But that is what this is. Like, I'm not here doing anything investigative. Like, I'm not diving deep into the woods and looking for some fucking weird source parked out on a bush by a bush on a, middle of fucking nowhere on the way to Vegas. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not calling random dudes or women, right? Gotta be fair. I'm not calling any random people and sitting there going, hey, what do you know? Hey, what's this? Here's a little motivation to tell me the truth. I'm not diving like that. What I am doing, and I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing, because I am my one-man band, what I am doing in my subject matter is this. I use I use X currently for video clips because there are people out there that will post and react to video clips. So there's your sound bites, right? If I see something that fits what I'm trying to do, I'll use it and I'll talk about it. My research team, if you can call it that, is basically my search engine, and I type in a specific topic and then it'll give me a list of things, and then I go, because for time constraints, I'll go 2 or 3 pages deep, and read the articles I find towards my benefit. I also use artificial intelligence. I use Copilot. I use ChatGPT, and I'm not ashamed of it. If I'm going to curate all this information in a short amount of time, so that way I can cross-reference it the best that I can and then present it, I need a system that will do it quickly. This seems to work. So, like today, we are going to talk about U.S. aid and the whole issue there. And then we're going to talk about a tuberculosis outbreak, right? So, how did I get into this? Well, you type in your little deals about it, where's this outbreak? And it tells me exactly where it is. And then it gives me bullet point referencing. So it also has links. So I click those news articles. I go straight there. I read the news article. And then I have open a tab of a writing program. And I start typing in those bullet points, those bullet points that are essential to what I'm doing. And then I will do the same for USAID and so on and so forth. And I will tell you guys up front going forward what websites I have found in this curation that I have read or looked through. There's always this big thing about Wikipedia. Sometimes it's referenced. I will say that Wikipedia, for all the grief it gets, whoever whoever volunteers to do this, got a shout out to those guys, because they still will give references and links to where they're getting their information. And it gives me an opportunity to click those links, read those articles, and I can agree to disagree to use them or believe or what have you. But it is also one of my starting points. So I use, as I said, my own self typing in a question and then going through about 10, 15 different, you know, links on about 3-page max. Then I also will type similar questions into, as I said, ChatGPT or Copilot, and then it'll give me a list, a more curated list of websites and explanations to that. I click on those links and I read those articles, and then I begin to write what it is I want to say based off of that. So that, kids, is the process. That's how I do it. That's how I am trying to get it done as quickly as I can, so I can do this every day and bring you my opinion as best as I can. And you guys can agree or disagree to the opinion, get upset about it, call me names, pat me on the back, whatever. And with the having said all that, let's dive in. All right, guys. First off, we are going to get into something kind of funny. Representative Al Green, Congressman from Texas, has begun.
And still I rise, Mr. Speaker. And I rise today, Mr. Speaker, with a to whom it may concern message. To whom it may concern, ethnic cleansing in Gaza is not a joke, especially when it emanates from the President of the United States, the most powerful person in the world, when he has the ability to perfect what he says. Ethnic cleansing in Gaza is no joke, and the Prime Minister of Israel should be ashamed, knowing the history of his people, to stand there and allow such things to be said. Ethnic cleansing has been a crime against humanity. And I stand here today in the well to denounce what was said, to denounce what the president said, to denounce the complicity of the Prime Minister of Israel, and to remind people that Dr. King was right. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And injustice in Gaza is a threat to justice in the United States of America. I rise to announce that the movement to impeach the president has begun. I rise to announce that I will bring articles of impeachment against the president for dastardly deeds proposed and dastardly deeds done. I also rise to say that the impeachment movement is going to be a grass-up movement, not a top-down. The people have got to move forward. The people have to demand it. And when the people demand it, it will be done. I did it before. I laid the foundation for impeachment, and it was done. Nobody knows more about it than I. And I know that it's time for us to lay the foundation again. On some issues, it is better to stand alone than not stand at all. On this issue, I stand alone, but I stand for justice.
Apparently, Representative Al Green from Texas obviously is upset. Why is he mad? Because Donald Trump had Netanyahu for a meeting, and he openly threw out an idea of basically turning Gaza into Las Vegas, if you will. And it's an idea. It's something that would probably take forever, and it's something that may never even happen. We don't know what it is for, what the extent of it is. It's an idea that was just tossed out there. But he feels that this is the start of a genocide and an ethnic cleansing something about harboring a war criminal in Netanyahu. And he's going to lay the groundwork for the third impeachment of the president. Unfortunately, his problem is it's going to take a while because the Republicans control the House and the Senate for the next 2 years. They do have a majority control. This is just him, just for whatever reason. I don't understand this dude. He's just over here talking shit, to be honest. So there you go. Okay. So let's talk. Let's get into this. The USAID thing. All of the Congress people, all of them, Jasmine Crockett, Maxine Waters, Cory Booker, Congressman Kim, I think, is there, Chris Murphy, the whole crew. You know, Chucky Schumi is over there. And I'm going to play a couple clips of them basically calling for violence in the streets. And it kind of has this eerie feeling of what they said before the Black Lives Matter riots started. It has the same feel to it.
But let me tell y'all something. I know some of y'all have been frustrated, and you've been saying, where are the Democrats? Where are our leaders? Well, I'm here to tell you that we ain't never left y'all. All right? We are here. We are also going to make sure that they uphold the law. We are not going to sit around while you go ahead and desecrate our Constitution, or you look at the laws that have been passed into law and say, never mind, we'll just ignore that. Instead, we are going to be in your face, we are going to be on your asses, and we are going to make sure, we're going to make sure you understand what democracy looks like. This ain't it. So let me tell you something, Mr. Trump. You gonna learn a few lessons from us. And I'm gonna be the first one. You and your little friend off of Twitter. Y'all about to find out, all right?
So there's Jasmine Crockett. She's first up. She is basically calling and threatening violence. If you read between the lines, you're gonna figure out what democracy looks like. The only issue is this has what these microphone screaming things have taught me is that our elected officials don't know how government actually works. And it's very scary, actually. It is absolutely scary. So we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. I'm not going to get into what that is other than to say that our elected officials are tasked with executing what their constituents want. That is their job. Their job is not to do these ridiculous rallies, scream in the microphones, call the president of the United States names, threaten his office, and attack whoever is working for him. That's something that should not, that's not their job. Their job is to pass laws and be at the mercy of their constituents. That's their job. And this is not it. This is not it at all. But that's Jasmine. And here's I want to play this little supercut. Honestly, this is probably a better way of doing it. It's got all the players in it. Kind of puts this in this perspective just a little bit more. It's about 45 seconds. I apologize for the early one, but it's kind of the same idea.
To our Republican colleagues, if you do not see the light, we will bring the fire. Resist!
We are going to be in your face. We are going to be on your asses.
We have days to stop the destruction of our democracy. We have work to do.
Tell Elon Musk to take his hands off your money.
We don't pledge allegiance to the creepy 22-year-olds working for Elon Musk. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America.
And goddammit, shut down the city! We are at war!
We will win. We will win. We will win. We won't rest. We won't rest.
Wow. I guess it's better. That's a little bit better. It's basically, they all got down, you know, in front of the Treasury and threw a big old baby fit over something. And what was that something? Well, here's the mandates of the president. I know we can talk about, we can piss and moan about, you know, majorities all day long, because the president won the popular vote. They got control of the House and the Senate. They have the Republicans own all the cards, right? And of course, you know, there are people pissing about the exact numbers. Well, they really didn't get over 50%, blah, 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 you know. It's not really a mandate. You know, all I can say to those people is shut your fucking hole. He's got all the levers. He does. And the job of the Democratic Party at this point is to play as much defense as they possibly can. As much as they can. Doesn't mean it's going to do a whole lot of good most of the time, but as much as they can, get in the way, things like that. What this is doing is absolutely not pushing the agenda forward for the Democratic Party. It just makes them look about as idiotic and disjointed as they have been over the last, you know, 8-10 years. They continue to do this. They continue to incite, you know, they don't like Trump inciting violence, but they continue to call for violence. They continue to incite riots. And it just leads to more and more property damage, more deaths, more injuries. But they don't like to sit there and hold themselves accountable when it does happen. I mean, this is the similar language that they used before the Black Lives Matter riots started and burned half the country to the ground. This is also the same rhetoric that Maxine Waters used when every Republican member of Congress was attacked at certain points over that year. They don't understand and they don't get it. And it just proves that they don't understand how their government works. As I've said, this is not a democracy. This is a constitutional republic. This is what our constitution is founded on. Here's the crazy thing about what they're mad at. So here's the mandate that was given. Donald Trump's mandate was immigration. It was shrinking government. And it was lowering inflation and the costs of for Americans. Now, we can debate the economics of lowering costs, the tariffs, that whole shindig, but That one will always be an up and down, oopsie daisy, all that. It's never gonna be a thing that you win on unless you are able to solve the second thing, which is, in my opinion, which is the size of government, the scope, what it is that they're doing, where the money is going. So what did Trump do? What is it that Trump did that caused this tizzy, if you will? Well, he decided to appoint Elon Musk to to be in charge of shrinking the government, basically. The guy handing the guy the chainsaw. So he is designated as a special government employee. This designation this designation ultimately gives him the ability to work for the federal government without being full-time or receiving a paycheck. He has also been given an email and an office space. And his role is essentially making government more efficient. Efforts of cutting costs, reducing size, all that good stuff. The things that the American people, the 78 million, voted to have happen. All right. So his job is to identify and eliminate wasteful spending. And he's hired a couple of kids to do that, help him find it. The president has given him access to the Treasury and to certain areas of the government to look at the money. Where is it going? How do you look at the money if you can't access it? So the president ordered Musk to do so. He also oversees some of the federal agencies. He has been dispersed throughout several of these agencies to implement the cost-cutting measures. And he is also recommending which ones to essentially pause and or shut down. I mean, when they say shut down, I believe it's more of a pause. To me, it seems to be a language thing. Now, here's the thing, though, about this. And this is why I get really concerned with our people in Congress when they don't understand how government works. The executive branch has some authority to reorganize and evaluate agencies within the federal government. The shutting down entirely does require congressional approval. This is true. And this is something that some of the legal analysts have talked about. This is 100% true, but that's not what they're doing. They seem to be pausing or temporarily shutting down as they go through the books and perform these audits. And this is what happened at USAID. And Congress, which seems to be in a tizzy about this, is because they are afraid that these agencies will either be shuttered and folded into another agency, or what I believe is happening is they're afraid that Donald Trump will find where their bread is being buttered, so to speak. And I think that's the part that has these people all upset. So Mike Johnson has also said that the executive branch has the right to evaluate and pause the agencies, but he has also doubled down on the constitutional side with saying that Congress holds the authority to make final decisions on these matters. So he knows that this isn't going to get to that point of what these guys are screaming about unless Donald Trump comes in with Mike Johnson and says, okay, we need to go forward with the process of shutting this down entirely, folding this over here. Right now, what's happening is just basically like the IRS auditing your books. And they don't like that. And I find that interesting because what we're seeing here is, as I said, they are absolutely worried about them finding out where their bread is being buttered. They're worried about getting caught. That's what this feels like to me, because Donald Trump has been slowly but surely whacking away at certain aspects of the government and turning over some rocks. And he's turned over a rock that a lot of people seem to be very, very upset about. Now, the idea of USAID was in 1961, in November. It is November 3rd, 1961. It was done by executive order by the president, John F. Kennedy. It was for Foreign Assistance Act that was passed by Congress in September of 61. Its idea was to consolidate various foreign aid efforts under one agency focusing on long-term socioeconomic development. And Congress provided the framework while the executive established the agency by way of executive order. Now, this, Donald Trump has the ability to rescind the Kennedy executive order with another executive order. This is kind of like the same thing with Joe Biden going in there and just taking every executive order and throwing it in the garbage. Obviously, in a perfect world, we would like Congress to vote on all matters, but, you know, as anybody with a few years of existence knows that Barack Obama broke that system because he did everything through executive order, almost everything. And he set the stage for future presidents. And Trump is taking advantage of that. He's taking advantage of every system that was put in place before he got there. And none of them like it. None of them like it. And of course, he could undo this with an executive order and restructure it or dissolve it by way of executive order. Now, once he gets to the point of dissolving it, then he absolutely needs to get congressional approval. But he is allowed to pull that trigger because this is not an agency that was enacted by Congress. It was an agency put together by executive order, similar to the Department of Government Efficiency, which was put together by executive order. And nobody likes it. But you guys started it. Democratic Party loves to do shit and does not like it when other people do it against them. And then that's when you get all this whining at, you know, in front of the Treasury Department. But of course, you know, the budget was about $44 billion in 2024. It's about 0.4% of the budget. It's not exactly, you know, it's not exactly slashing off an arm or a leg here, but it is a small thing that they're looking into. And there's controversy, though, about what it is that has happened, where the money has been going recently. And some of this stuff has been found by Elon Musk and his crew. So he found out that Politico received funding from the USAID. It was about $44,000. But he found that interesting because Politico is a company, is a journalistic entity. They're a news organization. Why are they receiving funds from USAID? It makes you wonder, like, what's that all about, right? And of course, the USAID has also had millions in funds diverted to armed combatant groups, including the ANF, a designated foreign terrorist organization affiliated with Al-Qaeda in Iraq. A Syrian national, Mohammed Al-Haifian, was charged with illegally diverting over $9 million of taxpayer money through USAID into these groups. I don't think that's what Donald Trump wants to spend the money on. But that's what USAID did. There are some claims by the Trump administration that I found to be a little bit kind of silly. You know, like, okay, I don't know if this shit's real. You know, he's talking about the $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia, $70,000 for a DEI musical in Ireland, or a transgender opera in Colombia for $47,000. excuse me. The USAID has also faced criticism for its lack of accountability and transparency, with resistance from UN agencies and foreign-based NGOs for sharing information about potential misconduct. So they have been very reluctant to oversight. Like, they fight it like any nobody's fucking business, the USAID agency. But once they have been paused and thrown out of the building for the audit, oh, they're piping mad, you know? It's like, okay. Now, let's just talk about something that I know that I've noticed, like, with some of these claims. these claims that Caroline Leavitt put out there about the transgender opera, And it was a claim that they said was that they're saying is incorrect. They clarify that the opera Aswan was actually funded by the University of Los Andes and supported by the State Department, a State Department program that was not from USAID. So she made an incorrect statement there. The Serbian thing actually did go down, and that one's real. And that was something that was supposed to run for 3 years, and it was about $1.5 million. The goal was to promote economic empowerment and opportunities in the LGBTQIA blah. And then, of course, the $70,000 grant for the DEI musical in Ireland was awarded to the Celluride Company Limited by Karen T. in September of 2022. The funding came from the U.S. Department of State's Public Diplomacy Program with the aim of promoting shared values of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility between the U.S. and Ireland. The project was part of a broader effort to support cultural diplomacy and strengthen international relationships. So what does all this bullshit mean? I mean, this is be real here. What does all this bullshit absolutely mean? Elon Musk has been appointed by the president, given government access by the president, the head of the executive branch. His job is to work with the executive branch under the guidance of Secretary of State Marco Rubio. And his job is to take a hatchet, a chainsaw, whatever the fuck he needs to start whacking away at the federal government and shrinking it into a more streamlined business, basically. That's his job. He has the authority to pause agencies. He has the authority to temporarily shut them down while he performs these audits. He has the ability to do these things under the guidance of Marco Rubio by way of President Trump. All of these Democrats hooping and hollering, losing their fucking lunch money, all of them don't like it because all of them are afraid they're going to get in trouble. This whole nonsense about the payment systems and getting a hold of private information, if anybody has lived long enough, you know that the federal government can't control that, by themselves. I mean, how many times has your data been hacked and or leaked? Or, I mean, the WikiLeaks thing is a great example of that. These guys can't even do it themselves, protecting us from theft and harm, and they're worried about Elon Musk with his hands on this data. It's absolutely humorous to me. The other issue that they are raising is he's unelected. That has been a really big theme with a lot of these guys. Nobody elected Musk. Here's the crazy part about that. This is the crazy thing about that. And I find it hilarious. Here's Maxine Waters getting in on that one. Let me just play this real quick for you. Maxine Waters is about to talk about Elon Musk here. Listen to this crap.
California!
Hello, everybody! We have convened here in the right place, the Treasury Department. We have got to tell Elon Musk, nobody elected your ass! Nobody told you could get all of our private information. Nobody told you could be in charge of the payments of this country. We have told you've made enough money off our government yourself. And now you want to take everybody else's payroll and make sure that they don't make the kind of money that you've made. Oh, you want to use our money to go to Mars? No. We want to use our money right here in Washington, D.C., in this country.
What? Okay, this is something that this theme has been going on for a while. Here's the kicker. This is for all of these Democrats. Maxine Waters, I didn't elect you. I didn't vote for you. You're the 43rd district in California. You're nowhere near me. You're out there in Los Angeles. I didn't put a yes vote for you. I don't approve of you at all writing laws in California and fucking pushing them through on my ass. I didn't approve of you going into Congress and with your bullshit. I didn't. There are 49 states that didn't elect Jasmine Crockett to be the representative in Texas, the 9th district. Nobody fucking understands this. But they want to give shit about Elon Musk giving a government authority by way of the president. That is a problem. Nobody elected. You really think about it. Even let's look at AOC for a second. She's one of the rising stars. How many votes did she actually get? 50,000? So when you look at 340 million people, she has been given a mandate by 50,000 fucking people. Nobody else elected her for that shit. Nobody gave her the approval to talk her nonsense on Instagram or her bullshit about how stupid Elon Musk is, apparently. Nobody gave her that authority. 50,000 douchebags in New York City gave her a microphone. These guys really, really don't understand the entitlement, the fucking gall of these people is hilarious to me. I mean, if I was a Democrat and this went down, what would I say? Well, let me think about that. Well, the president has appointed this guy. He gave him special access. He is in charge of the executive branch. He is allowed to perform audits at his and to see if this stuff aligns with his agenda. That's his job as a president. I don't like it. I don't like the way he's trying to do it, but we don't have the votes to compete. We are not in charge of this country for the next 2 years. So the best we can do as a Democratic Party is to educate our constituents, try to slow play some nominees to get some concessions out of the president, but we can't really do much but get steamrolled. And that's what's going to happen for the next 2 years. And to be honest, the last 2 years when we had control, we did whatever the hell we wanted. We didn't count on the Republicans for shit. We passed $7 trillion in spending. One omnibus package after another. We didn't care. We didn't give a rip what the Republicans thought. We didn't care about whether or not they wanted to put in certain guardrails on some of our stuff. We put that Green New Deal. We pushed that bitch through. We didn't care. We shoved infrastructure onto people. Now I will admit as a Democrat that we absolutely 100% couldn't get you a single internet connection, but we did pass and spent somehow billions of dollars in telecommunications, but we didn't exactly get any of it done. I know that somehow we were able to get you guys to believe in us enough to produce infrastructure bills that only went on government buildings. Didn't exactly work in any other city. I know it was a bad idea. I know only those jobs went to those people that we were, our friends, if you will. Yeah, I know, but inflation, yeah, we got it down to about 4.5% before, we lost the election, but, at least it's kind of at a decent level, and I know you're mad about immigration, but we really worked on it the last year of the presidency. We didn't give two rips about those 3 years, God, no, we let shit come on board, kids. And that is exactly what happened. And what are you gonna, I mean, I know that whole run there was a little bit on the funny, you know, sarcastic side, a little facetious, but it's 95% of it is 100% true. And here we are, and it's now the Republicans' turn to swing the bat. And there's nothing they can do about it. And I don't understand why they think that this course of action is going to benefit them. They are literally calling for violence. They are literally calling for riots in the streets. And it's bad enough we've got immigration protests that are turning violent in parts of the United States right now, because nobody likes the deportations. Nobody likes the fact that this is happening. And this is something that Donald Trump really, really wants to correct. He doesn't like that there were 17 million people, 20 million people, 30, whatever the number is. He didn't like that those people came across like that. He didn't like that there were plane flights in the middle of the night where they were just getting dumped into places. No, he didn't like it. And no American, no, let me rephrase, no, if you love America and you are an American patriot, believe in your country, you shouldn't like that shit either. You shouldn't. I mean, these guys are putting everything right in front of you. I know California had the fires, and I know there was a big old deal about that. You know, everybody said Trump was stupid because he didn't know how water works or whatever. But what is happening right now with that? Gavin Newsom is already with Karen Bass talking about reshaping the Pacific Palisades, a place where the richest of the rich would live. And now that it's a complete rubbling mess and there's not a house standing, those fuckers are already contemplating how to make money for themselves. And nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit other than the people that are, you know, other than the Republicans that are talking about it. And what are the Democrats doing? Oh, they're misunderstanding us. Bullshit. I guarantee you right here today, February 5th, it's 6 p.m. on the West Coast. I guarantee this. Write it down. Call me on it if it doesn't happen. I guarantee this is going down. Those two fucktards are going to turn that shit into a low-income shit dog place and ruin it. Because everything has to be fair, everything has to be equal, and they're going to piss a whole bunch of people off. And they're going to run that shit into the ground. And then they're going to take all that money that they made off those contracts, and they're going to walk, ride off into the sunset. That's how you say that shit, guys. That's going to happen. And everybody that lives out there, get ready for the bullshit, because it's coming. Because that whole area that was burnt to the ground is going to be tied up in red tape, permit after permit, up to code bullshit, and it's going to drive a lot of people out. And they're already contemplating that. I'm telling you guys, what is the overall point of today? What is the overall point? This is the overall thing. It's, what is the point? Look, I went over the USAID thing. I know I stumbled a couple times because when I put notes in front of me, that's one of my issues, is I've got to figure out how to do this without falling over, is when I got notes and little bullet points, because I tend to derail. But the overall point is this, man. Democrats, it's not your turn right now. And you're looking like a fucking morons, like a pack of dum-dums. You just take your L and go plan differently. Put legislation on the table. Do what Cory Booker, as much as I don't agree with that guy, do what he's doing. Actually present legislation for a floor vote. You know Mike Johnson won't even look at it, but and you know it's never going to get to the Senate and vice versa, right? But at least he is doing something that he's supposed to be doing. What Maxine Waters is doing, what Chris Murphy is doing, what Jasmine Crockett is doing, what that entire fucking moron bunch is doing, is screaming into a microphone, and everybody out there is watching, and they are not liking what they're saying. That's it, kids. Thank you all. I know I stumbled, but I made it. I'll see you on the next one. I want to break your soul.